You're tuned in to 24 Hours of Student Power on CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting from the unceded territory of the Musqueam people on UBC's Point Grey campus. Thanks for tuning in, everyone. This is 24 Hours of Student Power. My name is Kelly. I'm going to be your host for the next hour. Right before this, we had UBC PhotoSoc in the studio, and now we are going to be kicking off, I believe, hour 13 of 24 Hours of Student Power. Okay, so we are in the studio with Sprouts. Do you guys want to quickly introduce yourselves and say what you do with Sprouts?
All right. My name is Graham, and I am the director of the Community Eats Initiative.
And my name is Sarah, and I am the president this year.
Awesome. So just to ask the obvious question, what is Sprouts? What do you guys do?
We do a lot of different things. Sprouts is a student-run food co-op, so we operate two cafe spaces, Sprouts and Seedlings. We do Community Eats. We do a weekly CSA box. We do educational workshops. We do a bulk buying program. A lot of different initiatives.
Awesome. Yeah. Do you want to tell me a bit about the history of Sprouts? How long you guys have been around?
Yeah, so Sprouts started in 1997 as the natural food co-op, and so we were just a bulk buying program at that point. The actual cafe space opened in 2004, and then Community Eats was 2008, and Seedlings came around 2013, I believe, and then the last 2 years, Sprouts has been closed for renovation, so we're ramping up to reopen, which is exciting.
Yeah, awesome. So how long have you two been involved with Sprouts?
This is my third year on the board, and then I volunteered for a year before that.
And I started volunteering last year, and I am on my first year as a board member.
That's awesome. So it was last year that the sustainable food referendum happened, right?
Yeah. Yes.
Do you want to tell me a little bit about that?
Absolutely. So that was a huge win for sustainable food on campus. So that was a partnership between Sprouts, Agora Cafe, Roots on the Roof, and the UBC Farm. And we wanted to work together to get more support for food security on campus, and especially like local and sustainable food. So we passed the referendum, which is 35 cents of your student fees. And that gets split between the four groups just to help us keep costs low. Like the farm is able to give a 20% discount for all students, which is fantastic. Ours is going to keep our cafe costs low and to help us buy more locally, so ensuring that we're sourcing as much as possible from the farm, from Roots on the Roof, all that. So it's very exciting.
Yeah, that's excellent. So you guys have a new cafe opening, you mentioned. So can you tell me a bit about the new space, how you got it, and kind of the process you've gone through over the past couple of years?
Yeah, it's been a long process to get it. So for those of you that remember the old Sprouts, we were tucked in a dark, weird corner of the basement of the old sub. It was really confusing to get there, and there was no service, and it was just this tiny little warm space and a dark, scary hallway. So now we're in a bright hallway, and we've got a window, so we're right at the end of the Life building, still in the basement, just a little bit past the arc. So that's really, really nice. It's exciting to have a window and actually have service in there, and we've been in there all morning today and then yesterday as well, starting to paint things and trying to bring some color in there because it's a little bare at this point, but trying to spruce it up a little bit. And then all of our permits should be coming through next week. Our equipment all arrived, well, within the last few days. Our fridge is actually being installed right now. So we'll be able to be up and running for next term. Which is
awesome. So for the most part, has it been pretty smooth sailing, or were there any like major roadblocks over the past few years?
Probably the biggest roadblock was just like the construction of the Life building itself. Like, we were told that we would have access to the space like 2 years ago, but like the construction of the building got pushed back really, really far. And then like with that came extra complications. So like the last year we had Sprouts was, I think, 2016. And then Last year there was no spreads. The year before we were in a temporary location in the pit, which was super weird because the pit was still open. So we had a little corner that we were having our little vegan cafe in, and then the pit would be at 11 o'clock every morning. They'd turn on the disco lights and the trap music, and it was a really funny combination. So it's definitely nice to have our own space now. It's been pretty stressful trying to get like equipment sorted and like figuring out like what do we actually need like to build a cafe up from the ground up as a student-run nonprofit with minimal funds. But it's all coming together nicely now, which is good.
Definitely. So over the past 2 years since you moved out of your previous space, have you found that people still wanted to stay involved, and have people still been, you know, like asking about Sprouts, or have people kind of forgotten about it because you didn't have kind of that permanent space?
Well, Seedlings has still been open. Mm-hmm. So the one thing about Seedlings, though, is that it's all the way as far as you can possibly get on the north end of campus. Yeah. It's in the same building that Kerner's Pub's in. So if you're not like an art student, it can be a pain to walk all the way to that end. And people also get really confused with that space because you got to go up this staircase and it slowly gets narrower and narrower. Yeah. So people get halfway there and they're like, this is not right. But Seedlings is packed constantly. It's a shame too because we've had to turn away some volunteers because there are more people that want to volunteer than we have the capacity for. So hopefully they haven't been discouraged and they'll still volunteer with us next term because we're going to need them all when we open everything again. Maybe you can speak more to Community Eats and how the turnout for that's been.
Yeah, the turnout for Community Eats has been pretty good. We've been kind of, we've got some like volunteers that show up every week, and we also get some people dropping in. It's always open for anybody that wants to come and hang out and participate in Community Eats. We kind of just cook to our ability with the food that we get donated. And there's been lots of interest in it. I think as far as compared to last year, we've had a lot more people coming by. We're in Walter Gage right now. We have been for the last few weeks. And so a lot of people from that residence community come down and participate in the event. And we're kind of exposing them to what we do and maybe gaining a few more people to come in and do other things with Sprouts and gaining some interest there. We've got a few people that know about what we did from when we were at the Engineering Student Center, and they've come all the way over to Gage to find us, and that's always good to see too.
Yeah, so with the new space, when you move into it, is there any new projects you're starting with moving into the new space, or is everything kind of staying the way that it was when you were still in the old space?
It's kind of just expanding things that were happening, and there were things that were happening in the old space that people didn't necessarily know about. So Sprouts, compared to Seedlings, it's more of like a restaurant model. Sprouts has lunch items, but it also has the full bulk buying program. It has like a little grocery in it. We're going to be featuring a lot of student art and stuff. So we're speaking with different like Melt Collective and Pottery Club and other groups to see like how we can feature student works to either like sell it for them or to hang up people's art and get a lot of different things like that. So that's exciting to have like our own space that we can kind of bridge a lot of those gaps with. And it's been difficult with like the bulk buying program because we haven't really had a home for it for the last little while. And then Community Eats has been moving all over the place. Sprouts boxes are happening off the roof. So those will have a home again, which will make it a lot easier to run them effectively.
And it's going to be nice.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So when the new cafe opens, is Seedlings still going to be around?
So both of them will still be running, which again is why we need more volunteers because the board, we've got a big board, about 25 people, and the last few years people have gotten used to, since there's been no Sprouts, we've had two board members per shift, and now we're going to go back to one because we have to staff two full cafes, so we need all hands on deck.
Awesome. So not including the kind of like, just including kind of regular volunteers and like the executive and stuff, how big is like the Sprouts team? How many people do you have kind of working with you?
So previous years, so we have about 25 board members and it's usually around 150 volunteers. But this term, without Sprouts, we're still at about 100 volunteers. So probably next term will be between 150 and 200 people in total. So, yeah, lots of people are involved, but we're lucky. Like, we have a lot of people that want to just hang out in the kitchen with us and cook food or, like, help us make brownies. Yeah. And it's fun, right? Like, we'll turn the music up loud and make soup. Yeah. So, yeah. Lots and lots of positions. We're also going to be changing things up a little bit next term with, like, offering the space for, like, senior volunteer positions, just because we do have to staff two full cafes, like, allowing people to have a bit more responsibility with helping with committees or helping to run shifts and doing all that. So we're opening it up a little bit more, which is nice.
Yeah. So it sounds like you have a lot of volunteers, which is fantastic. Mm-hmm. So what's the incentive for people to volunteer with Sprouts? Like, what are people getting in return besides just, you know, kind of
besides just getting to hang out with us? Yeah. well, if you volunteer, you get a free meal on the day of your shift. You get 15% off, like, food any other day, but also get discounts on the bulk buying program and on Sprouts boxes. So that would be, I guess, like, the official incentives. But, yeah, I don't know. So, like, it's never really an issue, like, getting volunteers at the beginning. It's just making sure people stay on through midterms and everything like that, and just, like, keeping things consistent throughout. Because we don't ever want to turn people away, but, you know, when there's too many people in a kitchen, that can also be a little crowded. So just making sure we're at that reasonable number. Yeah. But, of course, when there's not enough people, I mean, people that go to Seedlings know, like, sometimes lunch rush, if there's not enough volunteers, it's just lineups and waits and stuff. But just do what we can based on the day.
So do you find, like, around midterm season, is there kind of a lull in volunteers?
It's a bit of a bit. Yeah. But we've got, like, a Facebook group for Sprouts volunteers, and even if you don't have a shift, you can pick up anyone's shift. So just a matter of, like, posting on there and saying who can come up, and then usually people are willing to help. Like, I've had it sometimes where I've had lunch shifts, and if a lot of my volunteers can't come, there'll be people who'll come into the cafe with the intention of coming for lunch, and then they'll be like, oh, no, I'll just come into the kitchen instead, and I'll help you, like, roast some veggies or prepare something new, which is, people are great. We're really lucky with our community. It's just a matter of making sure people that are not in our community can find out about us.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, and I think that in terms of incentives for, like, volunteering with us, one thing that I hear a lot from people is that, like, living on campus, some people don't have the ability to cook, and cooking can be really important for some people in terms of, like, they just grew up cooking a lot, and it connects them to, like, their culture, to themselves, and it's kind of like therapeutic time in their week to be able to just come into a kitchen and just, like, make food. I know that's, like, how I feel about it, and a lot of people that I talk to in terms of our volunteers also feel that way. And some of our initiatives, like, the volunteers have a fair bit of creative license, I guess, over what they make. So there's, like, always that, you know, we respect and value our volunteers, and it's, like, everybody that is part of Sprouts is a volunteer, including our board members. So we all kind of, like, you know, get it that midterms happen. We're all out to look out for each other. So, yeah.
That's awesome. So is there any, like, training that's involved in volunteers? Or, like, when someone starts, do you have to, like, do they have to go through a training process, or do they just kind of get tossed into it?
Yeah, so there is a training process, especially with things like Seedlings, right, where it's such a, like, there's so many different menu items there and, like, little different things to know, right, like how the sanitizer works or, like, where everything's kept. So there are volunteer training shifts that do happen. We try to do, like, at least three the week before all the shifts start. And then there are lots of volunteers that will join, like, midway through. So then they'll just be in contact with the volunteer coordinators, and either they'll arrange, like, a separate one, or they'll just come in early to a shift or something. So, yeah, it's important to make sure everyone's well-trained, because it can be a lot to be just thrown in. And I know my very first volunteer shift, I just showed up and figured it out the day of, which was fine, but, yeah.
Because it is volunteer-run, is there any, like, issues surrounding, like food safe licenses and stuff like that at all? Like, do you experience any issues with that?
Yeah, so every board member has to have food safe. Like, there has to be at least one person in the kitchen at all times that is food safe certified. So just making sure everyone actually is. We do reimburse the food safe cost for the board members. Also just, like, making sure people actually, like, bring a copy in so that when the health inspector comes in, we can actually show them that we are. We're not just saying that we're certified. I think the complications with Food Safe come more with Community Eats and the bulk buying program, just because we're trying to be zero waste, so we're not giving away containers, so everyone has to bring their own. And the nature of bring your own container programs tends to be a little, there's a lot more complications for
Safety regulations don't really appreciate bring your own container programs a whole lot, but we've got a great food safety inspector on campus who's got a good relationship with us, and it's a pretty good working relationship we have with them. Mm-hmm. And in terms of food safety in our cafes, there's always at least somebody that's got that certification around. So,
and also, as a vegan kitchen, it's a lot easier to be up to food safe regulations because we're not dealing with meat, we're not dealing with eggs, we're not dealing with dairy. So there's a lot less that could go wrong.
Yeah.
Just making sure everything's washed pretty much and not gone bad. But
definitely. So have you two kind of always been interested in cooking and working in a kitchen? Did you have experience with that before you started being involved with Sprouts?
I love making soup.
Me too.
Soup is a passion of mine, and it's what brought me to Sprouts, basically. I got really excited about Community Eats when I started volunteering with them last year. Last year we were in the Engineering Student Center, and we just made stew and salad every day, and it was really fun because you could just make whatever you wanted, and that's the same thing now with Community Eats. And if anybody is interested in volunteering with us, we don't really have any training. We just show up and we're like, what are we gonna make today? What did we get? We get donated produce, so it's kind of a mixed bag to see what we're gonna get, and then we just make it up on the spot, and it's super fun that way. So it gives people, all our volunteers can have a lot of license over what they make, and I think for myself at least, I remember the first meal that I cooked, and cooking is very important for me. I think of it as being my way of showing love for the people in my life. What about you?
My family were big on cooking when I was back in Ontario, and then first year I was on residence, and I don't think I made any food the entire year because we just had a microwave, and my residence cafeteria was pretty gross. So, and then as soon as I started volunteering with Sprouts, I actually just got dragged into it by one of my friends who's in class, and she brought me there after and pretty much signed me up for a volunteer shift right then and there, and then never really looked back. So I didn't go into it specifically for the food part. I just walked in. I was like, everyone's so nice. Want to hang out with them more. But
come for the cooking and stay for the friendship.
Yeah.
Maybe the real incentive was the friends we made along the way.
Exactly.
It is. Yeah, we've got a pretty good community going on at Sprouts. So, I've made a lot of friends by being in this club. I wouldn't have any friends otherwise. But speaking of soup, we've got a soup cauldron in our new space, so that's a very exciting thing. It's got a lever on it, so you can detach it and then pour out the soup into a warming container. I'm very excited about it.
Awesome. Yeah. I just had soup before this. I love soup.
I'm going to get soup right after this. Settles it.
Do you have a favorite kind of soup?
Do I have a favorite kind of soup? Yeah, borscht. I love borscht. I love making it. It's just so much fun, and it's just delicious. Good vegetarian borscht. I also really like Coke. I could go on. I'm not going to start. I'm not going to start. I'm not going to stop if I start.
My grandma makes a very good kapusta, which is cabbage and barley.
That sounds
really
fancy.
Good.
Yeah. Sounds awesome.
I'm going to have that when I go home.
Yeah, you're going to have to bring me some back.
Yeah.
That sounds great. That's amazing. So are you guys vegan or vegetarian or?
Personally?
Nope. Yeah.
I'm vegetarian.
Okay.
And I can't have dairy.
Fair enough.
So I pretty much eat plant-based. I very rarely, I'll have cookies and stuff that aren't vegan. But And then for Sprouts, it was actually just 2 years ago that we made the shift to mostly vegan.
Okay.
And that was a choice, because we're a sustainability club, not a vegan club. And so we were just trying to be as sustainable as we possibly could. And so it was actually it was a very, very long conversation along the board. Like, it took up many hours trying to, like, weigh the pros and cons. And at this point, we do still have honey, but we have Hives for Humanity honey, which is, like, a very deliberate choice because, for people who aren't familiar with Hives for Humanity, they do, like, urban honey farming, predominantly, like, downtown east side as well. And so they're hiring local people to work. And then it's not only is it supporting, like, urban bee populations, but, like, city bees are often healthier because there aren't as many pesticides within the city. And so it's helping with pollination in the city. It's helping keep, like, the bees healthy while also doing important community work. So it's like we have honey, but then otherwise it's all plant-based. And then it's just trying to make, like, we have our purchasing policy that's online, and we're currently trying to make it a bit more accessible for people to find out more. But, like it's weighing, like, okay, like, it has to be as close to local as possible, as, like, little packaging as possible. So, like, we switched from soy milk to oat milk because it's a local company. Oat milk is a lot less resource intensive than almond or soy milk. And then even thinking, like, okay, like, that still comes in packaging. So can we start actually making our own milks and stuff like that? So all of those shifts are trying to just be as sustainable as we possibly can. So,
yeah. And we don't use honey in our recipes necessarily for our baked goods, because even though we aren't, like, a vegan club, we do cater to, like, the vegan community of UBC, and we're known as being, like, a place for vegans to come and eat. So we try and make that as accessible as possible for people by, like, not putting the honey into our baked goods, for example, or our recipes. It's, like, there as an option for, like, a toast topping or on your pancakes, but not, it's not something that, like, we're going to bake into it. We've got, what are we using now, rice syrup?
Yeah, so we're using rice syrup now because...
It's always changing.
Yeah, well, because we're doing maple syrup because that's what everyone was wanting, but, like, maple syrup's liquid gold. It's so expensive. It's delicious, but it's so expensive, and so we just couldn't feasibly continue to use that. So we're currently trying out rice syrup, and apparently it's a better consistency as well for baking with. So
nobody's got portion control when it comes to maple syrup either. It's like, yeah, they're just syrup, like, and you're just, like, throwing it on. I was putting way too much of it in everything that I made with it. So
yeah. But it's hard. I don't know if you've ever had our pancakes at Seedlings. They're so good. And so, like, you just want to douse it. And we've been infusing the maple syrup with rosemary. So it's like,
It's pretty bougie.
It's so nice.
Our recipes this year are, like, really good.
Yeah. Our Instagram's all just pancake pictures because they're so pretty. Yeah.
That's amazing.
So we're not going to go away from maple syrup, but it's expensive. So
just trying to reduce our use of it.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. We're going to take a really quick ad break, but after the break, we'll be back chatting with Sprouts.
LGBTQ2I Night is a positive space for folks to learn about bike maintenance in a relaxed environment led by queer mechanics and volunteers. It takes place on the fourth Wednesday of every month at the Bike Kitchen on UBC's campus. Bring your own bike and fix them with our tools, come with questions and ask away, or learn by watching other folks work on their bikes. Beginners are always welcome. This event is entirely free to attend, and there will be free pizza. For more information, visit bikecoop.ca.
You know what's better than reading a great magazine? Reading a great magazine that also helps you fight poverty. Megaphone Magazine is sold by homeless and low-income vendors on the streets of Vancouver and Victoria. Vendors buy magazines for 75 cents and sell them for $2. It's flexible, low-barrier work for people who may not have access to traditional jobs. Download the Megaphone app to find vendors and buy the magazine, even when you don't have change.
You're tuned in to 24 Hours of Student Power on CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting from the unceded territory of the Musqueam people at the University of British Columbia. So now we are back chatting with Sprouts. So before the break, we kind of started talking, well, about food. So I'm curious about, how do you make your menus? Who makes the menus? Like, who makes the recipes? Can you tell me a bit about the process?
Yeah, so... For Seedlings, there's a Seedlings kitchen manager, and then for Sprouts, there's two kitchen managers. And so they're the ones that are, like, in charge of making the menus. A lot of it is seasonal. So Sprouts is known for its stew. The stew just depends, on what is in season and what we can get. Same with communities, it's whatever we get. Seedlings is a bit more like creative license. So we're currently trying out miso bowls and parsnip fries, and so some fancy stuff like that. But often, like, volunteers will actually come on shift, and they'll be like we started making falafel because one of our bowls didn't have enough protein. So they're like, well, I have a recipe for falafel that I'll bring in for you guys. So really, as long, like, any idea, as long as it fits within our purchasing policy, we're open to trying. And like in the past, Sprouts was just stew, bread, and different baked goods. But we didn't have a kitchen before, and now we've got this big, beautiful kitchen. So, and we're right beside the gym, so trying to figure out, like, we're going to want some protein-heavy things so that we can actually cater to the people that will be near us. So figuring out whether we want to do smoothies or whether we want to do some kind of, like, granola bars or... So it's definitely informed by our community. Like, people will email us with suggestions, or they'll ask for stuff. Well, I mean, we always laugh because, like, a good chunk of our questions that we get on our Facebook are people messaging us from, like, random places thinking that we're a group that just sprouts things. So they'll, like, send us messages. We got a message the other day from someone in Florida saying, like, how do I sprout vegetables? And we're like,
I don't know. Like,
you can Google it. Like,
so is our kitchen managers who kind of set the menu.
Yeah.
And then, like Sarah said, we are super open to all the suggestions that our volunteers and community members, people that eat at the cafes as well, make. We've got, like, a pretty opinionated community that we serve, and we love that. Like, we're always open for suggestions. And for Community Eats, we literally just show up and we make it up on the fly. And it's been pretty good. Like, the last couple of weeks, we've had some really awesome stuff. We got pineapples, and we cut them up and we broiled them with cinnamon, and it was, like, delicious.
Really,
we made some, like, peach crumble stuff going on once, and we made, like, a vegan shepherd's pie last week, which was super good. And we've got this one volunteer, Kyron, who comes around, and he's got this big bag of spices. and he's always just spicing things. He's a spice master. It's awesome. So, like, you know, there's a variety of things that we can do. It's a bit of a step up from making stew and salad all the time, which was always really good. But now we've got, like, a bigger kitchen now that we use, so there's more that we can do. It's always changing.
Yeah.
Sprouts menus are very fluid.
Yeah. And at least for, like, Sprouts specifically, the stews, part of the kitchen manager's job is to come up with a really punny name. Like, there has to be some kind of joke involved for every stew that we have. So that's where all the responsibility lies.
Yeah.
Is coming up with
Fair
something
enough.
Good. Yeah.
Fair enough.
A lot of soup puns.
Yeah. Yeah.
So do you find the people that, like, come into Sprouts and Seedlings and the people that come to Community Eats, is it kind of like there's a lot of regulars, is it a lot of returning customers, or do you get lots of, like, people just kind of, like, wandering and being like, what is this?
I think based on our locations, it's, we don't get a ton of people that just wander in. Like, usually people, maybe they've never come to visit us, but they've heard of us. But we've always been in, like, pretty out of the way areas. I think when Sprouts opens, we'll get more traffic for people that don't know who we are.
It's going to be interesting to see what we're going to get for Sprouts. Like, we don't really know what to expect because we are in a pretty, like, high visibility spot now. And we could be slammed all the time, which would be awesome. We're pretty excited to see, like, how much of the community we can reach out to, because Seedlings is far away. We get, like, a lot of people that visit the graduate students, like, center there, like, that runs out of Kerner's, they'll come up and they'll be there for, like, a meeting or something, and then they'll come up and order something.
Lots of familiar faces, though. Like, it's actually made this campus feel a lot smaller for me, because I'll walk around and there's so many people that, like, even just from, like, taking orders at Seedlings, I know so many people's names. I don't know them, but I see them every couple days, so.
There's some people that basically, like, live in Seedlings.
Yeah.
Like, they're there every day. It's awesome.
Show up at, like, 9:30.
It feels cool to have regulars like that, though, because it, you know, because we're a volunteer club, like, it just feels like they're just part of our community, as opposed to, like, you know, thinking of them as customers or anything like that. Like, it's just, they just like Seedlings like we do. And
we actually have gotten a few more people that have, like, gone out of their way to find us lately, because we were just featured in the new foodie cookbook. And so it's a cookbook for, like, the, like, all of Vancouver. It's all the plant-based restaurants in Vancouver. And it's all these, like, real fancy places. And then us, which is awesome. So there's been a, like, there have been people that have reached out to us through that, so they've seen us. You know, they've picked it up at some, like, super expensive restaurant downtown, and they're like, what's Sprouts? And then come see us, though.
Yeah.
It's nice, too.
Yeah, that's awesome. So earlier on, you mentioned some of the different kind of initiatives that you have. So you have community eats and stuff like that. Do you want to elaborate on that and tell me a little bit more about kind of all of the different programs that you run?
Sure. Yeah. So we do workshops. We've got one coming up that's like with the sewing club.
Yeah.
It's to learn how to like just repair, do minor repairs on clothes. Something that like a lot of people probably don't know how to do is just like how to stitch, right? And like maybe you get a rip in your pants and you need to stitch it up, but like some people just don't know how to do that, and so they might replace it instead. So they're doing, it's on the 15th?
Yes.
It's coming up.
It's the next week.
Coming up soon. Keep your eyes open for it. It's going to be in the Nest. And then we have bulk buying. So the bulk buying program is like the original Sprouts thing. We still run that. People can get bulk goods through us, like stuff like lentils and peanut butter. And
Yeah, that's like one of the big things is like everyone gets these like 10-pound things of peanut
kilograms.
butter.
10 kilograms.
Yeah,
so,
they're
huge.
They're awesome.
Yeah, we split them up.
Yeah. I didn't. I got one for myself.
Oh, yeah, of course. So people are, like, able to save some money on their produce that way, especially if they live in, like, a group housing situation. Like, it's a really good way to just not have to pay retail price for your produce.
There's two different aspects of that, too. Like, you can do a giant bulk order of, like, you know, you can get, like, your 20-pound bag of rice or lentils, or as soon as Sprouts open, we will have the bins in the actual store. So you can bring your container and fill out just, like, a couple scoops of something that you need.
Oh, okay.
So
yeah.
If you don't want to do a gigantic order.
Yeah.
We will
we'll
have the
a more
staples.
Reasonable like bulk program that people can like it'll be like scoops like that what is a bulk barn kind of thing. Right?
Yeah.
What else do we do? We have
Sprouts boxes.
Sprouts boxes is like a CSA program, which like what is that community supported agriculture. So Sprouts boxes are sourced from a lot of it comes from the UBC farm. Some of it comes from Roots on the Roof. Which are two groups that we have like really good relationships with and that we work really closely with. And we have produce that comes from pretty much like as much from the Lower Mainland as we can. Maybe we'll source from Northern Washington State, and then if we need to go outside of the Lower Mainland in BC as well, it's like it's all as local as we can get it. It's a little bit of a mixed bag of everything. We can get small boxes or you can get a big one. People come and pick them up on Mondays from the roof of the Nest.
Yeah, so you sign up for a full term. So you just pay right at the beginning. And then it's nice because it's like we'll source the food for you.
Yeah.
And once a week you pick it up. It's kind of like we're doing your grocery shopping for you. And then they'll send out a little newsletter as well with like they'll tell you what's in the box, exactly where each thing came from, and they'll also send a recipe every week saying, like, this is something you could do with the food that you got. So that's really nice. I know it's like we're busy. We don't have time to to do all that. So having someone else figure that out for you is really, really nice.
Yeah. And that's a weekly thing?
That's a weekly.
And how much does it cost for, like, a term?
Depending on, well, again, so, like, board members and volunteers get discounts, but it's about $200 for the 10 weeks.
Wow.
Yeah, which is pretty good.
That's really
Yeah,
really
and
cheap.
So, I mean, like, there's about a, like, plus or minus $25, whether it's a small box or a large box.
Yeah.
The small box is about, like, it could feed about 1 to 3 people if you're doing it as, like, sides and supplementing with other things. The large box, you can do, like, 2 to 4 people. I've had a lot, like, my old roommate and I had a large box, and we, like, devoured it and got through it perfectly. My roommate and I now are just so busy. We have a large box. We just can't get through it. It's so much food. So really depends. And, like, you can split it up with a bunch of people, and so it ends up being, like, super affordable. And good, clean food. So
yeah, definitely. And I'm assuming you're able to keep it affordable because it is, like, local and seasonal.
So we're not getting anything from really far away, and like so the winter months, lots of beets, lots of roots. But and it's fun because I find like the Sprouts Box program like really taught me how to cook. My mom would always laugh at me because when I first got one, I'd call her every so often. I'd be like, what do I do with this?
Yeah.
Like, where the first time I got a rutabaga, I was like, Mom, what do I do with a rutabaga? So that's fun. And then community eats, which is by donation once a week. That's a really fun one, feeding the people.
Yeah. How many people usually show up to community?
I'd say probably around 100 people have been coming by on a weekly basis. There's like last week, it was sweet. So when we were in the Engineering Student Center, it was kind of an awkward space for people to like spend time in because there's not too much seating in there and there would always be a lot of people studying. So people would like come fill up their container, grab their produce and usually head out. This year we've been finding that people are like hanging around a lot more, which is great because like we're Community Eats, so we'd like to promote a community vibe going on at our events. And it's been really cool to see people's engagement in it. Especially just like opening people's eyes up to how much food is wasted on the Lower Mainland and around the world. So what we do is we have partnerships with wholesalers, and they've agreed to donate food to us that they would otherwise be throwing away. We go down to the loading bays and we get our pick of the crop there, and then we basically save that produce. I like to call it a veggie search and rescue operation. We save the produce, and then we bring it back to campus, and we prepare it into meals, and whatever we don't prepare, we have the option of people to take as produce as well. And then it's once a week. It's a bring-your-own-container thing. It's all by donation. We don't expect people to have to pay for it. We're kind of trying to, like, change people's minds a little bit about like, is food something that we need to pay for the privilege to have, or should we? Is this food something that we like have a right to as individuals and as people? Yeah, like it's literally what we need to live. So why don't we make it a little bit more accessible for people?
Well, especially when so much food's being thrown out. Like it's terrible that people are going hungry while we're wasting a ton of food.
Yeah,
so.
And when you really get down to it, a lot of that food is being thrown away because it's an economics thing, right? And it's because we're looking at food as a commodity and not as like a human rights issue, essentially. And when you think of all the land that goes into growing the food that gets wasted, like between the farmer and the consumer, somewhere between around 50% of the food we grow is wasted. So you'd think about like all the land that we dedicate to agriculture and all the land conversion we've done.
All the water.
All the water we use. It's like a lot of waste going on and it has some pretty severe implications. So it's a really fun program because it's like really low stress, low pressure. Everyone really appreciates what we do. It's free food. And it's...
Who doesn't love that?
It tastes good, too. It tastes really good. And it's cool to see people look at this food and be like, how is this going to be thrown out? Because that's how we feel about it. And when most people see that, they also feel that way.
Yeah, definitely. So how long does it take you to cook that much food for...
It depends. Our prep shifts are on Thursday nights from 5 to 8, and sometimes we're done by, like, I think last week we were done at 6:30, and, like, a couple weeks ago we went to, like, 8:30. It just depends on how many people we have and how much we decide we want to do the night before. We also start cooking at 9 a.m. on Friday, and then we have, the 2.5 or 3 hours of cooking before we serve. So we'll do some prep on the night before, and then we'll do a bunch of cooking the day of, and that way there's stuff for our volunteers to do. And some of the things it makes more sense to make fresh, right? We've got like the opportunity to make certain stuff like the shepherd's pies, and there's always storage issues as well when it comes to the amount of food we get, because we go and we pick off boxes from the loading bay and then we bring it and we've got like two like house size fridges in the space.
Yeah, so it'll be a lot easier when Sprouts opens. We'll have more space.
Yeah, we're getting our walk-in fridge installed right now.
It's so beautiful.
It's so nice.
It's so big.
I mean, it's a very exciting time.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So, since you guys are very like sustainability driven, what was the process for like choosing appliances for the kitchen and stuff like that? Was that decided by you guys or by the AMS?
That was our end. And so the first thing we did is we reached out to tons of local businesses, and we started by asking like whether they had any old equipment that they'd be willing to donate or sell at a reduced cost, because we want to be as circular as possible. There was some stuff that we were able to carry over from the old space. A lot of it, like, you know, we're doing the best financially we ever have, so, which is great, but we've had a lot of older equipment, so some of it was just not salvageable. So a lot of stuff was donated, and then we went through Russell Hendricks, which is a local restaurant supplier, to get most of our food, or most, not food, equipment. The only way we were able to do that is we did a crowdfunder last year. We used Wayblaze, which is a local crowdfunding platform, and we raised like just under $13,000.
That's awesome.
And that's like the only reason we have equipment, because things are super expensive.
Yeah.
Everything's very expensive. So that's the other reason to try to get things secondhand, is it's a lot more affordable. That we were lucky, like we got a lot of like our coffee machines, we got them all donated, and some stuff were left over as well. So
And so the renovations, like I guess the space would have been constructed by like the people building Life Building, but then all of the other renovations, was that all volunteers, like painting, stuff like that?
Yeah, that's all us. So
currently painting chairs.
Currently painting chairs.
Yeah,
it's super fun. We're letting every board member get a chair, and they're allowed to do whatever they want with it. So we're going to have some wacky stuff going on in the space. I think the AMS might be providing us the cabinet, but otherwise we'll be building some shelves. We've got some murals that we're going to be putting up. Just lots of crafts that we want to do, because Sprouts is a very homey space, and right now it's like a white industrial room, which is not...
We're going to make it really cozy.
We're going to make it real cozy. Yeah. So put more lights up, lots of plants. We're all, whenever we ask people, like, oh, what do you want to see in the new Sprouts? Everyone's like, plants.
Yeah.
And now we have a window, so we
so
can actually, we can actually do that. So, yeah, it's definitely like a community effort. And also asking people, like, what do you want to see in Sprouts? Like, we did, our outreach coordinator did a bunch of Instagram polls at the beginning of the year, like, what do you want? Do you want cozy or trendy or colorful? And everyone's like, no, cozy and colorful.
Cozy
and like,
colorful.
So that's what we're doing.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah.
So how long have you actually been like working in this space to like do these like renovations and crafts and stuff like that?
We were granted occupancy in August or end of July. Not much, like some stuff was moved over the summer. But otherwise, like, there's no building permit currently, because you can't get a building permit until all the equipment's installed. So we've been allowed to have our board meetings in there, but we're not allowed to do anything official in the space. So it's just been, like, when board members have the time to, like, fix up a mural or, like, paint something, they can do that, but we couldn't officially do anything.
Okay.
It's been a bit of a slow process.
It's been a slow process.
But we're kicking it into overdrive so that we can get ready for our semi-annual general meeting.
Yeah.
I never get that right.
So we're having elections at the end of the month.
Okay.
And we're electing 6 or 7 new board members, which is super exciting, and we're going to host it in the space. Okay. So we're going to do like our actual launch of the space when it's all ready next term, but this will be like a sneak peek for people. So we'll have an open mic night. We'll have we'll do updates of how we're doing, but also like the elections. And like a workshop, we're going to do some like community crafts to like bring, make some like fake stained glass for the windows, make it look all nice. So
come on by November 27th,
In Sprouts in the basement.
That's awesome. Okay, on that note, we just have to take one more quick ad break and then we will be back.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have entered a soundstage at
CITR
studio for a visit with
the folks who are
directing the exciting young star
Dama
Dora
and
guest
Ben
The Real World.
The Real World is the UBC Film Society's radio show. We talk about events, actors, directors,
and genres.
We come up with most of the genres.
And that's what makes it so jazzy.
It's a lot of fun and games,
except not that many games.
If you think you can handle all of this, tune in Fridays from 11 to 12 on CITR 101.9 FM.
Shout out to Ed Norton!
Want to know what's up at UBC? Read the UBC. It's only the largest student newspaper in Western Canada, and it's written and edited entirely by UBC students. The UBC is your source for on-campus news, culture, and sports. New editions come out every Monday and Thursday. For breaking news as well as amazing videos and blogs, check out ubc.ca.
You're tuned in to 24 Hours of Student Power on CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting from the unceded territory of the Musqueam people on UBC's Point Grey campus. So we are back with Sprouts now. So we got a whole bunch of fun information about all the projects you do, the new space. It sounds like you guys have a lot going on, like, so much. I'm curious about one thing. So my first year at UBC, my, like, favorite singer ever played in Seedlings. Do you guys do stuff like that a lot? Like, do you guys do, like, host, like, gigs and concerts and, like, community events like that? Is that a thing that
we do a lot of collaborative events, and we do a lot of, like volunteer social stuff like that. And usually, like, we have every term our election night, and we do an open mic night every time, and that's always so nice. Well, what's really exciting is, like, with the new Sprout, like, with Seedlings, we pay rent, but Sprouts is our space, and we don't.
Right.
And as long as the Life Building's open, we have access to it. So we're going to be able to host a lot more stuff. So, again, like, we were just chatting about Community Eats and wanting to have music back there. And so having people play every Friday, have people sign up to just play music whenever they want, and host more things like that. So hopefully we'll expand it even more. So,
Just have, like, a never-ending open mic.
There's just always somebody singing.
Always someone singing, yeah.
Or just me on the kazoo.
That sounds great.
Yeah.
That could be nice.
Yeah. Do a stirring rendition of Careless Whisper on the kazoo.
Oh, yes.
That's awesome. So we've talked a lot about volunteers and volunteer opportunities, but do you want to talk about that a little bit more and, like, how people can get involved, kind of the steps that they have to take, the different areas that they can help out in?
So if you want to start off as a volunteer with us, there's a few different ways that you can. So you can either volunteer for a kitchen shift, which is about 2 hours per week, either in Sprouts or Seedlings. And so you'll be, like, for Seedlings, for example, you're in the kitchen, you're helping to prep food, you're taking orders, you're running the food out to people, helping with cleaning, doing all that. Same for Sprouts. The only difference with Sprouts is that it has the bulk buying and the grocery and all that, so helping to run all those programs. You can do, like, prep shifts. So the Sprouts kitchen, usually it's Tuesday, Thursday nights. They'll have a couple hours where you're just prepping stew and doing all that. Community Eats, there's both the prep shifts and then shifts the day of. And Sprouts boxes, you can volunteer to, like, pack the boxes. And in previous years, we had, like, a partnership with the Bike Kitchen, and we had bike delivery for on-campus Sprouts boxes. So you could also volunteer to just, like, bike around campus and deliver food to people, which is super fun as well. So hopefully we'll bring that back. So there are those options. Then we mentioned a bit earlier, like, opportunities for senior volunteers. So if you volunteered for two terms with us, then you can be a senior volunteer, and so that will have a bit more responsibilities. You can help, as long as you're food safe certified, you can help lead shifts, you can help, like, just make more decisions in that capacity. And then we do have elections at the end of the term, so several positions that are coming up. The positions, usually it's usually a time commitment of between, like, 5 to 15 hours a week, including your board hours. As a board member, you have between 2 to 6 cafe hours, and then there's a weekly board meeting as well to commit to. But it's a ton of fun, and then get to hang out all the time.
And if anybody wants to apply for the board, we have currently a link up on our Facebook event for our semi-annual general meeting.
SAGM.
And if you want to be a volunteer, we're going to be sending out a volunteer call-out very shortly. If you don't follow us on Facebook or Instagram yet, that's one way you could stay up to date with what's going on our end. And then we also have the Facebook group, Sprouts Volunteers. It's a really good way to learn if, like, there's any volunteer opportunities coming up. We post a lot in there, and as well, like, all of our volunteers are on that group, and if people need a shift covered, then they'll post it up there, and you don't have to have volunteered with us previously necessarily to pick up a shift. We've had a few people who just saw an opportunity pop up and they just wanted to take it, and so they show up and we just show them the ropes really quick, and then they kind of do their first Seedlings shift with us or whatever. And then Community Eats, feel free to drop by. It's super fun. We accept walk-ins.
Another good place for all the information is our website. And one of the benefits of the website, ubcsprouts.ca, it has everyone, like, there's a link to all the board members, and it has everyone's email there. So, you know, if you want to volunteer, you can email the volunteer coordinators directly, or you can, there's a comment section, and we'll send it directly to the board members if you have other questions. So you can always contact us directly. It's on the website, also on our Instagram. We have all of our, all of the board members have a little feature on there. So
that's right.
Yeah, yeah.
Highlights. Our Instagram highlights.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's just a matter of reaching out. We do, like, the big pushes for volunteers, like in the summer and then beginning of September and then over Christmas break, just trying to, like, as each term starts up. But, again, there's always room for more people throughout the terms.
Yeah, yeah. And it kind of seems like it's fairly flexible. Like, if somebody can't come 1 week, they have, like, a midterm or whatever, like, it's...
Yeah, and that's the benefit of the group. Like, we do ask that the volunteers try to get it covered themselves. Yeah. But honestly, if you post it in the Facebook group, usually, like, someone's always willing to step in. So,
yeah,
lots like of me, give and take.
I've taken a lot of volunteer shifts this term. I don't actually have a board shift in Seedlings or any cafes because Community Eats has been, I've been pretty busy with it. So you guys didn't give me a shift, but that's okay. Yeah, so it's really easy to get your shift picked up. It's very flexible in that sense, and it's easy to get involved. Just join our Facebook group. It's like the best way to learn, and that's what I would recommend for anybody that wants to get involved with us.
I just walk into one of the cafes.
Yeah, introduce yourselves.
Introduce yourselves.
Hello. We're all pretty friendly.
Yeah, we'll bring you. We'll suck you right in.
Do you find the volunteers are like? Is it really varying in like age range and like? Programs and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's all like we'll get a lot of people in first year who just want to be more involved with different things. It's all over the place. Lots of people that are just like returning volunteers.
Yeah.
Some people that like used to be board members and like couldn't commit to a full like a board position but didn't want to leave, so they'll still stay in the kitchen.
We have a Community Eats volunteer who's been with us since we started, and he's a retired anthropology professor from the University of Chicago who now either works or volunteers at the Museum of Anthropology here. We get a bit of a range. Steven's awesome.
He's awesome.
He's amazing. And
it's all the institutional memory of Community Eats.
Yeah, he literally is like the memory and the backbone of Community Eats. It's amazing.
Yeah.
He told me about this amazing baba ganoush recipe that they used to make in the back in the day, and I've tasked him with trying to find it for us.
Nice.
It's been so far elusive. We made baba ganoush a couple weeks ago, and I feel like it could be improved by this recipe.
Yeah.
So if you have that recipe and you're listening, contact me.
Yeah.
That's amazing. So volunteers don't have to be UBC students?
No, not necessarily, no.
Awesome. Anyone could volunteer with us.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's awesome. All right. Any last comments or things you've got to say before we kind of start to wrap it up?
Well, come see New Spirits when it opens and run for the board.
Yeah. Come to our semi-annual gathering. Yeah, come to SAGM on the 27th of November.
It's a Tuesday.
Check out Community Eats on Fridays. And we're doing some community partnerships this year, branching out to support different organizations around the city, which is really fun. We're doing an event called the International or Intergenerational Gathering on the 23rd of November. So come and check that out.
Lots of food.
Lots of food.
Yeah.
Meet activists, young and old, sharing their stories and experiences with one another. It's the theme of this event is our success stories, so it's going to be fun.
Yeah. Lots of happy things.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just come visit us.
Yeah. Awesome. Just
be our friends.
Yeah.
Well, thank you guys so much for chatting with me.
Yeah, thank you.
I learned so much, and now I'm like... I want to get involved.
Yeah.
Sounds great.
Cool.
Awesome. Thank you guys so much.
Yeah, thank you.
I know I just said it about a million times, but I'm going to say it one more time. Gigantic thank you to Sarah and Graham from Sprouts. It was a pleasure talking to them. Next up, we have the Foundation for International Medical Relief of Children, UBC. On 24 Hours of Student Power on CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting from the unceded territory of the Musqueam people at the University of British Columbia. Thank you so much for tuning in.